Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I've got two special guests. One is a member of my team here at work, Lucas. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Lucas. I actually started working here about 2 weeks ago. So this is my first Cloud Cover and I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. And today our special guest on the product team is Jason. Jason, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Jason Shaver. I'm a program manager on Azure open source tools.
Awesome. And so what do you do within the open source tools area?
So one of the things we want to do is make sure that when you think Microsoft and you think the cloud, it's not uncommon to be thinking about .NET and C#, Visual Studio, but we also have solutions for MacBook users, open source developers, microservice developers, the full set of cloud developers. So what we've done is we've released a new tool, the Azure CLI 2.0 Preview, to help developers understand their resources in Azure and get things done.
Okay, great. Awesome. So I'm excited to hear what the new 2.0 CLI can do.
Well, when we have an existing CLI, the Azure XPLAT CLI, mm-hmm. and we've heard a lot back from customers about it doesn't feel natural to them.
Okay.
So what we wanted is something where if we were to see a developer working at Starbucks, just doing their daily grind, I want something where I could go up to and approach them and say, hey, the tools that you use, the way that you program, we have something that works for that. And then show them things like, or show them how to work with Azure the way that they're used to working with the cloud. I'd like to show you guys a little bit of what I mean by that.
Let's Absolutely. Do that.
So I'm here. This is my MacBook. I'm a MacBook user. And I'm at a normal Bash terminal. And our tool, we call it AZ. And you type it, and it gives you a nice, clear list of all the things in Azure that you could do right now today. So I'm going to focus a little bit on a list of VMs.
Okay.
Now, awesome. This works across the breadth of Azure, but VMs is a pretty common thing in the cloud that people understand.
Mm-hmm.
AZ VM list. Now, the way that we set this up is AZ, and then there's a group, which is VMs in this case,
mm-hmm.
and then the verb you want to do, list.
Sure.
So AZ VM list, we go to Azure, we pull down some information, and we give you a clean list of resource groups and resource names of all my VMs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really great if I'm doing a demo in a terminal for people.
It's very readable to me right now.
Yeah, if you are coming from the Node world, if you live in Eclipse, if JSON is the language that you work in, this does not help you.
Sure, yeah.
So we support all the common formats for developers now. So I say --/ out and say JSON C for color.
That's
and awesome. We take the full output as a JSON, and we colorize it for you so it's easy to understand. A lot of times when you're looking at these documents, you're just trying to find one thing for your own reference.
Right.
The colors makes it easy to go to scroll right to where you're looking for like words like from image or Ubuntu or Canonical, and just get right there.
Sure.
Oh, this is much easier.
Now, it's hard sometimes when you talk about working in a terminal, because a lot of people will say, oh, I love JSON, and I use Gulp, and I use Bower, and I use Eclipse, and I live in things like VS Code. But there's another set of Linux and Bash users that they're not interested in VS Code. They're thinking Emacs. They're thinking, I want Bash primitives that I can use.
Mm-hmm.
So we support them too. AZ VM list out. And we say TSV for tab separated value. Because in the Unix world, between fields, it's tabs. And between records, it's new lines. And just to show this in use a little more, grep is a common search tool. In group one, let's say two, I have less VMs there. And then let's say I want to cut and get less information.
It's already more command line stuff than I even know.
Oh, yeah. So this right here takes that same huge JSON document, sets it into a very Unix-friendly way,
mm-hmm.
and I just pipe it in command to command. Now, to show what this looks like if I didn't pipe it in command to command, we don't take any efforts to pretty this data up for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want data on the command line, we are going to give you data on the command line in the way you want it.
Sure.
Now, these are three fundamental formats. A simple table output for human readability, JSON for working in microservices and born on the web developers, and then our POSIX style outputs for working with Bash and automations.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have these fundamental formats, we unlock the power of community. And that's a very power community. But I want to show what we mean by that. So AZ VM list out JSON. So same list of VMs. I want JSON. And then I'm going to pipe it to a tool called JPTerm. And what this does is it takes and gets that JSON document from Azure.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it sends it to this tool. And here, JamesPath is a JSON query language. So I could do things like, and now I have all my VM names. So this is great. And you can dump this all out to command line. Mm-hmm. But we've taken that same language, and we've built it into the CLI itself.
Okay.
Now I'm going to save some people watching me type here and just do a macro. Nice. So what we have, dash dash query says, I want to do a JamesPath query. Mm-hmm. Now, we chose JamesPath over some tools like JQ is another popular one for working with JSON. But JamesPath is the same language used by AWS.
Oh, okay.
So if you are an AWS user or you're familiar with how their tools work, mm-hmm. you can use the same expression language or query language in our tool with dash dash query and get outputs.
Great.
So you don't have to learn a new language.
That's always nice.
Yeah, it seems easy to transition.
And so here it's my name, and I want the OS type that I get from the OS disk for my storage profile. And so I can navigate that whole relationship in. With JamesPath, you can do more than just filter things out. You can also project into new formats. You can make new JSON documents. It's really powerful. One of the new features, which we don't have available today, but we'll have next week, is the ability to say, wait until this JamesPath expression becomes true. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing of like, wait till my VM has an IP address, and that's been allocated to you. So we actually have you do dash dash wait, and then do a dash dash property, and tell it what JSON expression needs to be true. Or JamesPath expression needs to be true for it to continue on.
So is that the sort of thing like if this VM's provisioning, you can script this so you can have a command that's going to sit there and
exactly.
wait until it's done provisioning?
Yeah, wait till it's done provisioning, wait till it's responsive, wait till the IP address is there. Depending on what you're trying to do, you need to come in at different spots.
Yep, right.
And this gives you the flexibility to do it at so many spots across, and it works across all of Azure. So the thing you would use to wait for VM to provision can be the same thing you do for a new network security group, mm-hmm. or for creating a new network, or just deleting a resource group.
Great.
Or even doing things like concurrency and files. You want to upload a file, but if it already exists, don't upload it.
Mm-hmm.
Easy check.
Nice.
So let me then show the VM help. Oh, so first one I want to show here is there are two very common operations that customers do. The first is they need to find data. And you saw with the JamesPath and JP term that it's pretty easy to find data. But once you find it, you need to get it out, and you need to make sure it's clean so they can use it in the next tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to pass this up to a CI/CD system, you can't have extra quotes, can't have extra ANSI characters.
Mm-hmm.
So if we wanted to get something, then I'm just going to get my first VM, and I want the ID of it. So I say this, and my default format is table, so it gives me this with a little header value, but I don't want that. I just want the subscription value. So if we do the TSV output, that POSIX style tab separated value output, it's clean every time. No quotes, no extra characters, no nothing.
Great.
So with this one command, this saves people from what they used to do. And to show a little bit of the difference, I'm going to show our existing CLI, Azure VM list, and show that same operation and what you would have to do. So it goes out and it says, I want to get all the VMs. And then for each VM, it'll go and call search that VM specifically and pull out information that they think you might want.
Mm-hmm.
They go that extra effort to try to remove or save you an extra step.
Sure.
But in the process, this becomes a 25-second command.
Yep.
Right.
And then once you get this result, you can't cut this away. You can't grep against this because you have all these little extra bits of information, all these little extra column headers.
Was there any way to specify before which columns you wanted?
No. You can output it as a JSON document, and you can use a tool like JQ
right.
to filter that down, which when we look at automation scripts, that's what a lot of our customers do.
Mm.
Get this in JSON, run it through JSON query processor to get to the data they want. But that means step one, install the CLI. Step two, install a third-party tool. Step three, manually figure out one attempt after attempt to find the right values to get the JQ to get you out what you want.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to make that a little easier.
It's all built in now.
All built in. And now passing commands between, or passing variables between commands is easy because we give you it clean.
Right.
So now that you've shown us kind of what the experience was with the old or the current, whatever we're going to call it, CLI mm-hmm. and the new version, what was the reason for actually making a brand new CLI as opposed to just, say, adding the different output options to the existing?
That's a great question. So when we started talking to customers about the CLI and what they wanted out of it, What we heard back was, we need the CLI to be available in the pack for the Linux distros in their package systems. You need to be able to get it from APT. You need to be able to get it from Yum. If you're on a Mac, Brew is where you get things.
Yep.
If you're in Windows, Platform Installer or MSI installs. But if you are a Linux distro, and our old CLI was built on Node, so if you wanted to make that available, you had to make Node available.
Yep.
You had to make NPM available. And it, we talked to like SUSE Linux, and they said, no, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they just made their own Azure CLI written in Python just because they couldn't bring Node with them. There's also, as we look at the space for cloud tools, because this is not a space where Azure is alone. Tools like Ansible, Spinnaker, these help people work with the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
They're the front door for a lot of customers.
Sure.
They prefer the Python ecosystem. That's where a lot of them are at.
Okay.
If we look at gCloud, we look at AWS, those tools, those CLIs are also written in Python.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to be part of the community by not blazing our own trail and saying, hey, open source developers, we like you and we want you to find success in our product that are completely different than everything else you do.
Sure.
So we wanted to make tools that are great for open source developers.
Makes total sense.
Right.
So a good CLI, though, is not just about getting data out. A good CLI is about being productive. So I want to show a few little productivity features we've done as well.
Great.
So AZ VM show. I want to show a VM. Now in Azure, VMs are in resource groups.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a resource group, and then your VM has a name, a resource name.
Right.
And you need to provide both those values. Now, it's not uncommon to get there and be like, I don't remember what my resource groups
are. That's always been my problem when it's come to the CLI is, what's the group name?
Right. Yeah, so I hit tab and tab. And what it does is it goes to Azure and it pulls down all my resource groups and just tells me I'm right here.
That is super convenient.
So now I can do VM group, hit tab, and it will autocomplete.
Okay.
And then, well, what's it named?
Mm-hmm.
So we make that available to you too. Wow. Delete me too. So by making you not have to do the AZ VM show, oh, what's its name? Cancel, and now go and make them the call.
Yep.
We put that all in line for you.
That's great.
And we don't just stop at resource groups and names, which are kind of like the low-hanging fruits.
Mm.
Creating a VM. Anyone who's created a VM from the CLI before knows that first step, what kind of VM do you want? Do you want Linux? Do you want Windows? And if you want Linux, what kind of Linux? What kind of Windows? What version of the image do you want?
Yep.
So there's a step of publisher and provider and SKUs. Well, we make it easier now. Tab, tab on image, and we expose the 10 most common images. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number, but the vast, vast, vast majority of the images created in Azure are one of these 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just exposed them to you.
Okay.
And then the same thing with you can do your tab complete to get a resource group name. And I want to name this one delete me 3, let's say. Now, this is all it takes to create a VM. There is...
That's so easy.
Yeah, you don't need to... I don't need to provide my SSH key.
Right.
Because by convention, we know where an SSH key is on a Linux box or on an OS X device. So
that's really
we look. If it's there, we use it. Now, I'm going to cancel this just to avoid the time. I want to show you the help file for this. So we put a lot of work into the help file, and this help file is part of a pipeline that I'll talk about in a little bit. What we do now is when you ask for help, so any command you can add dash h or dash dash help, and we'll show a set of help information. And for places where we can, we send you to a conceptual document that will help you understand what this command is used for. Seeing a command like deallocate a VM, you know, it's like, okay, I can understand what the words mean, but I don't know what the operation means. I don't know how to use it. Or deallocate, generalize, capture, are they used in a certain order?
Mm-hmm.
We want to lead you to documentation that helps you understand what you're trying to do, not just here's a command that executes something.
Great.
Then we pull out required values. For things like the image list, obviously we have the same 10 ones I showed before, but we also say you can look up these values yourself from AZ VM image list or AZ VM image show. And this just helps you not drop you off a cliff and say, oh, you need to find the image? Well, go to Google and
good
start looking for it.
Out, yeah.
And then there are different formats for these. And so nothing's worse than you come to a thing and you have this huge URL or this weird semicolon delimited thing or colon delimited thing. But you also see values like this. They're just simple OpenSUSE. Mm-hmm. We show you these as examples so you don't feel afraid to put these values in, so you know what other styles of input are available.
Right. As someone that uses the portal or has generally used the portal to deploy VMs, this is perfect. This is the kind of documentation that I would need specifically to,
yeah, as
to
we
be
looked
able
at,
to run something.
As we looked at CLI tools, especially the creates, and especially look at the hard ones, VM creations, there are, I'm going to say 100 parameters. I haven't done a count, but there are so many parameters you could change that are available. We actually didn't even bother trying to represent them all in the CLI. So for creates, what we did, for complicated creates, we actually created an ARM template that has all the scenarios that we thought were common to customers. And then we broke on that ARP template a bunch of parameters. And those parameters are the parameters here. So this is really, instead of being a fancy REST calling thing, this is just an ARM template execution engine at this point. Mm-hmm. But the template that we made does some really amazing things of pulling out value or pulling out your what some of your defaults are. Like notice the defaults here are live. It knows my username, so it just tells you that JSON SHA will be my default username. Mm-hmm. And then as you get to the bottom, we give you examples.
Just excellent.
Nice, easy, cut and pastable examples. Yeah. It's so nice.
That's exactly what I would be looking for right there.
So
the examples.
One thing that we've heard from customers about talking about the CLI is PowerShell. PowerShell is an amazing tool. It's very comfortable to a lot of Windows and .NET developers. Mm-hmm. As you start talking about open source, PowerShell isn't necessarily something you're familiar with.
Sure.
When you get to mixed shops where they have some PowerShell and some Bash, now you're in an odd situation where you'll have PowerShell experts and you'll have Bash experts, and you have to choose, should I build this automation in one or the other? And the answer has been easy for customers for a while because PowerShell had features that the CLI did not. Mm-hmm. It's been a big problem. It would be weeks, if not months, if not potentially years, for a feature that was available in PowerShell to come out in CLI.
Yep.
We've changed the pipeline of which we built the CLI from, mm-hmm. so that now the Azure, where they make new services like VMs and network and storage, those services describe their services with an open API Swagger document.
Yep.
And then we build the Python SDK and the CLI up from those documents. Now, because we're doing all this off of one pipeline, all this information that you see here, this is available, and I'm going to pull up a web page here. All this information is available in the docs.microsoft.com. And you'll notice it is the exact same information because it comes off the exact same pipeline. Mm-hmm. So now we have a story where you, from Azure to the Swagger definition, to documentation, to SDKs, to CLI, is all off of one pipeline. So we can get new features out there as fast as we can on PowerShell. And that's really where we're driving to, is to make developers not to choose between PowerShell and Bash based on when features become available, but based on what tool they want in their toolbox.
Now, does PowerShell generate its commandlets the same way, or is this like, because it sounds like basically once a feature is made available via the ARM APIs for the portal, it's just you kind of can update the SDK and update the CLI really easily. Is the PowerShell the same thing?
That's our North Star. With PowerShell, we're in an in-between state. With the PowerShell on Linux, Azure PowerShell on Linux, mm-hmm. and those features, there's a lot of moving parts there.
Sure.
The Azure CLI, the Python SDK, these are some of the early tools on this new pipeline.
Okay.
But our plan is to extend this pipeline to more tools as we move forward.
Great. Does that include potentially other SDKs generating it in the same manner?
Other Azure SDKs,
right.
Yes.
Right, yes, other Azure SDKs, yes.
Not the .NET framework. That's a bit more ambitious.
That'd be a little
hard to write a Swagger document for that.
It's a good idea.
So that is the main items that we have for the CLI. We're trying to build a new generation of Azure Ninjas by saying to developers who are already doing amazing things, you already have apps, bring them to Azure. We are great for Linux. We have tools, and we're trying to be very responsive to what the customers want, what gaps they find, and where they are finding, you know, rough spots. We're trying to fix those and bring great tools available to the open source community.
Now, because you're generating the SDK and the CLI based off of what the Swagger documents that are made available from the different Azure capabilities, does that mean that everything you can do in the portal, the modern portal right now, you can do in the CLI?
We're not quite there yet. Though at the base level, we support ARM primitives, and you can do amazing things with ARM primitives. Even if we don't have, let's say, the strongly typed, this is how you create a VM, you can still create a resource. But Portal has a lot of user features that are great. And we're trying to find the best place to separate out what is a GUI-based feature that is best on Portal versus what is a workflow or a client side that works best for CLI, and what do we need to share amongst them? For example, if I go create a new VM just following the simple steps in CLI and create a VM following the simple steps in the Portal, they should lead to the same basic VM. We need to, one of the things we're working with the Portal team on is making sure that defaults, templates, quick starts, that all those are unified. And then we're also trying to make the CLI itself available in more places. It's available in VS Code now. So if you have the CLI installed and you're using VS Code and you have the terminal available in it, we will, our CLI can be there.
I didn't know that.
It is a wonderful thing.
I never have to leave VS Code anymore.
You never have to leave VS Code anymore.
Now, since so many of the features and capabilities are generated from those Swagger documents, is this new CLI itself, is that open source? Can people contribute? Can they add more productivity features if they wanted to?
So the our CLI is 100% open sourced. Our dev team works publicly out of this repo. We fix bugs in this repo. We take customer requests in this repo. If you have questions or if you have problems, please come in here, file an issue. We respond very quickly.
And we'll make sure there's links to this stuff down below in the show notes.
And then we have our installation steps. We are in preview, so installation, we don't have it to MSI simple. We just run this file and you're ready to go. But we do have some ways to install. You can install with pip. We have a Docker image where you can just pull our Docker image and run it. And that's always up to date to the latest builds. So we have a couple different ways to use a CLI, or to install a CLI, but we support Windows, OS X, and most forms of Linux.
Okay, great. Now, is there, besides the GitHub repository and then the docs, which we'll get links to, is there anywhere else people can go if they want to read more about the CLI or if they've got questions?
We could put some links on at the bottom of the video.
I will do that for sure.
And then azfeedback@microsoft.com is an alias that goes to the entire CLI team.
Okay,
so feel free to reach out to us. We look forward to talking to our customers.
Okay, awesome. Any other cool things you'd like to say about the CLI for today?
No, the CLI, we hope it builds a new generation of open source Azure ninjas because they do great things.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming out here and showing us, especially some of the productivity features are really amazing. Do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you? You don't?
I don't. Oh. I never jumped on the Twitter thing. It seems like a scary place nowadays.
Well, you can always use the email address you provided, and it's good as scary. Right? Great. Well, thank you, Jason, for coming on and showing us the CLI. Hopefully, everybody out there tries it out, plays with it, and reports any issues, has any questions, sends them through the issues area.
We're excited to see what people do.
Great.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we will see you next time.